Okay, boys. Today's daf is daf Yud. We're starting the Mishnah on the bottom of Tes Amid Beis. Three lines from the bottom of the Amid. This is the final Ein Bein Mishnah in the first parak of Masechtas Megillah. And in fact, it's the final Mishnah in Masechtas Megillah. But as we will see in Mi'at Hashem, when we conclude the discussion in the Gemara today about today's Mishnah, we're going to begin a very exciting 7 or 8 blot of Agadata, all dealing with the Megillah and with Purim. And that's going to be very, very exciting, and a lot of it is familiar to us, as we'll see. Dr. Mishnah. Ein bein shiro l'Yerushalayim, ele shebishiloi oichlin kodshim kalim umas v'sheini b'chol haroya, u'b'Yerushalayim lefnim mena achoyma. As we know, when Klal Yisrael went into Eretz Yisrael, after the period of Kibush v'Chiluk, subsequently they had the Mishkan Shiloi. And that Mishkan Shiloi stood for 369 years. 369. During that period of time, they brought Karbanis and they acted like when they had the Mishkan in the Midbar, as well as they acted in the future when the Beis HaMikdash was built subsequently. In between the Churban of Mishkan Shiloi and the building of the first Beis HaMikdash, there was a period of 57 years. During that 57 year period, there was neither the Mishkan Shiloi nor was there the Beis HaMikdash, and that was one of the Zmanim where we had the Heter HaBamos, as we'll see in the Mishnah shortly. But in the meantime, as long as the Mishkan stood in Shiloi, although it was a nice parallel to Yerushalayim, but it wasn't exactly the same. Because Yerushalayim, as we know, had a wall around it, as it has today. Shiloh did not have a wall around it. We know that in Yerushalayim you can go and eat all of the Karbonos Kodshim Kalim, as well as Maaser Sheni, within the walls of Yerushalayim, what we would call today the Ir Atika. The problem is that Shiloh didn't have walls like that. So says the Mishnah, there's no difference between Shiloh and Yerushalayim. Elisha b'Shiloh oichlin kochim kalim masa sheni b'chol araya. You were able to go and eat kochim kalim masa sheni as long as you could see. It doesn't say as long as you could see what, but the Mefarshim explained as long as you can go and see the Mishkan. So if you are in Shiloh and you can see the Mishkan, you could be 5, 10, 12, 15 blocks away. As long as you can see it, you can continue eating your kachim kalim masa sheni. But Yerushalayim, the test is not whether you can see the Beis HaMikdash, but rather with nim and achoyma if you're within the city walls. V'kan, kachikudishim nechol with nim and achoyim. In both cases, Shiloh and Yerushalayim, the kohanim that would eat from the kachikudishim, they had to go and eat it within the walls of the Mishkan or within the walls of the Beis HaMikdash. The Mishnah uses the term kloim, which usually means curtains, because in Shiloh they didn't have walls inside the structure. They had a stone structure from the outside, but in the inside they had curtains to act as lines of demarcation separating between the Azorah and the Heichel. So you could eat it throughout the Azorah, you could eat the Kavonis Lefnim and HaKloim, and similarly in Yerushalayim, when you had the Beis HaMikdash, you could eat it Lefnim Min HaKsolim. Not Kloim, there was really no curtains over there. We'll see Mechem in the Amud Aleph, that was at the very beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash. There was a period of 22 years until they finished the infrastructure inside. And so therefore there was a period of time where they had Kloim there as well. But regardless, Kodshi Kodeshim can be eaten within the four walls, so to speak, of the Mishkan and Shiloh and the Beis HaMikdash Yerushalayim. Now the Mishnah concludes, Kedusha Shiloh Yesh Achareya Heter. This is what we spoke about before, that after the Mishkan and Shiloh was Choruv, then for the next 57 years they were able to continue bringing Karbanos through their private Bamos. That's what we call the Heter HaBamos. And Kedusha Shalayim Ein Achareya Heter, but after the Bat HaMikdash were destroyed, you can no longer bring any further Karbanos. That was the end. And based on that final member that we just said in the Mishnah, we're going to have a discussion with Rabbi Yitzchak. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Shemati, I heard, Shemakrivim bebeis choynyoy bimzman hazeh. Says Rabbi Yitzchak, I heard that today they still bring karbonis in Beis Chonyer. Where is the Beis Chonyer? So Rashi tells us that was in Mitzrayim. Who was Chonyer? Chonyer was the son of Shimon HaTzadik. Shimon HaTzadik wanted Chonyer to take over as Kohen Gadol in Yerushalayim. However, after Shimon HaTzadik passed away, there was a dispute between Chonyer and his brother. And the Gemara tells us some interesting stories at the end of Masechtas Tanachos about Chonyer. But eventually Chonyer decided to leave Eretz Yisrael. He went to Mitzrayim and he started over there his own bayis. And there is a discussion in Masechtas Menachos whether that is considered to be, if you will, a second Beis HaMikdash, where they were bringing Kodshim and Kabbonis to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or was it built v'shem Avodah Zarah? There's a machloikis there between two Mandiyamar. Rabbi Yitzchak holds like the Mandiyamar, that Beis Chonyoy was not a Beis Avodah Zarah, but was l'shem Shemayim to go and bring Kabbonis to Hashem. And as we'll see, Rabbi Yitzchak defended the bringing of those karbanos.
Would it be shchut echutz then if it was a?
Let's conclude, and we'll get to your question. I'm Rabbi Yitzchak. Shemati shemakrivin bebeis chonyer b'manazeh. I heard that even today, today meaning the time of Rabbi Yitzchak, of course. And Rabbi Yitzchak, as we'll see, was an Amoira, and he's saying even in our Amoroik period, they still bring karbanos in Mitzrayim in beis chonyer. And Kosovo Beis Chonyer Lava Beis Avodah Zarah. He holds that it's not a Beis Avodah Zarah. Ve Kosovo, and he holds Kedusha Rishoina Kidsha L'Shata, the Kedusha that Eretz Yisrael got at its inception, for the Kidsha L'Asalavi, unfortunately, is no longer. And since there's no Kedusha in Eretz Yisrael, according to Rabbi Yitzchak, now you're free to do whatever you want. You don't have to bring Karbanis anymore in Yerushalayim, in the Beis HaMikdash. You can establish a Beis HaMikdash even in Chutz La'aretz. But it doesn't have to be brought in Eretz Yisrael. Barry asks, isn't the din of Shchutei Chutz? According to Rabbi Yitzchak, apparently there is no such din. If there's no longer any Kedusha La'aretz because of the Chorban Beis HaMikdash, then you can make your own Beis HaMikdash wherever you want and bring Karbanis wherever you want. We're going to have a problem with that concept of bringing Karbanis whenever and wherever you want, because our Mishnah said the Kedushas Yerushalayim ain achareo heter, that after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, there's no heter to bring Karbanis anywhere. You cannot make a Bama, you cannot make a Beis HaMikdash after Chorban Yerushalayim. So we're going to talk about that momentarily in the Gemara. But now, just to conclude what Rabbi Yitzchak was saying, the Chassid says in the pasuk, "Levosim ad ota el hamenucha vi el hanachla." This is a pasuk which appears, of course, in the Chumash, and specifically, I believe, in Dvarim. Looking at Torah Shalom in the beginning of Dvarim, in other words, it's in either Eschanan or Akev, and it says that in the pasuk that we are here in the Mishkan, in the Midbar, we can bring kabbanis. When we get to Eretz Yisrael, you will not be able to go and bring kabbanis in the Mishkan, you'll be able to go and bring it on private bamos. Why? Because Klevosim ad Ota, for the first 14 years that Klal Yisrael was in Eretz Yisrael, you didn't come yet El HaMenucha Vi El HaNachla. What does that mean? Says Yimara El HaMenucha Zu Shiloi. The Mishkan Shiloi was not built yet, so you didn't have the Mokim Menucha to bring your kabbanos, so therefore you can go and bring it Al Pnei HaSodeh, on your private families. And Nachla is Yerushalayim, because that's like a permanent inheritance, a permanent legacy, Yerushalayim, and you haven't come to there either. So now the Gemara Darsh is Makish Nachla L'Menucha. We have now Ehekish. Ma Menucha Yesh Achreya Heter, just like by Menucha, Menucha referring to the Mishkan Shilai. After it was destroyed, you had a heter habamois for 57 years. After Nachla, the same thing applies to the Beis HaMikdash. Yesh achareo heter, you can continue bringing kabbonis even after the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. This is what Rabbi Yitzchak said. Amrulei, so they asked Rabbi Yitzchak, Amris, did you really say the memra that we just said, now that you're allowed to bring kabbonis bizman hazeh after the Chorban Beis HaMikdash? Amrulehu, Loi, no. And as we'll see the Gemara momentarily, Rabbi Yitzchak changed his mind. Amar Rav. So Rav says, well, the Kim Amra, I could swear that Rabbi Yitzchak originally did say that you could bring Karbanis, even Bizman Hazeh, in the Beis Chonyoy, no problem. The Gemara Lamine, and in fact, I was in his shir, and I learned it from him. When he gave that shir, I heard it. I almost have a tape recording. Well, my time at God, so why Taka Reb Yitzchak changed his mind? Mishim Kasher the Reb Meri, because he was concerned with Reb Meri's Kasher. What did Reb Meri say? The Moisiv Reb Meri from our Mishnah. Kedusha Shilo Yesh Achreo Heter. Kedusha Shilo has a Heter. Kedusha Yerushalayim Ein Achreo Heter. Kedusha Yerushalayim, there's no Heter thereafter. That means that after the Chorban Beis Hamikdash, you have no right to bring Karbanos anymore. Sorry, Bazoi, Rabbi Yitzchak, how can you say that we can still bring Karbanos Bezman Hazeh Bebeis Chanyai? Even if it's not a Beis Avodah Zarah, even if it's well-intentioned, but you're not allowed to, because you can't go and bring Karbanos after the Chorban Beis Hamikdash. But it's not only our Mishnah which is Shver, but Oitzanan. I have another Mishnah which is Shver. Mishaboli Yerushalayim Nesru HaBomois. When they came to Yerushalayim and they started to build the new Beis Hamikdash in the times of Ezra and Nehemiah, from that point on, no, this could be even the first Beis Hamikdash, makes no difference. The point is, Nesra and Bamis are off the table. And after that, there was no Heter any longer. And that's what it says in the pasuk that we quoted before. This is the final permanent Nachla, and after that, no more Kabbalists anywhere until the rebuilding of the Bayis Hashlishi Bikarf. So therefore these two Mishnayas are very, very strong Mishnayas that say very clearly that after the Chorban Beis Hamikdash there's no more Bamas. And therefore when Rabbi Yitzchak said that I heard that we're still bringing Kabbalists today, Beis Chanyai, and it's okay, because like Kitchulos and Lavai, Rabbi Yitzchak's memra flies in the face of the two Mishnayas both here, and the Mishnah over there that the Gemara is quoting.
It's difficult to want to understand how he could have said in the first place if you have two Mishnayas. I understand when Bryce says,
if you don't mind holding the question. Zogti Gemara, Tanoi, Ablamaisa, it's not so simple, it's a Machloikas Tanoi. Not the Sanyi, but Tanan, I have a third Mishnah. Amra Blazer, Shemati Kishahoyi Boinen Behechel. I heard that when they were building in the Hechel, Oisin Kaloim Lehechel, U Kaloim Lazar. That whilst they were building the Heichel, and Rashi says that at the time of the second Beis Hamikdash, and he brings back Kodesh and Daryavish, that from the beginning of that binyan until the end took 22 years. So if you think that the government today takes its time when it comes to public projects, the Beis Hamikdash took 22 years to complete. During those 22 years, there was, certainly at the very outset, there were no infrastructure of walls inside the building, and therefore they temporarily put up curtains, and those temporary curtains, like a lot of temporary fixes, were around for quite a while. So they made special kloim for the Heichel, special curtains for the Heichel, special curtains for the Azar. But they were careful about one thing. The walls of the Beis Hamikdash were very thick. If I'm not mistaken, some of the walls were as thick as six amas. They didn't want any of the builders to walk within the confines of the Heichel, because the Heichel is very, very Kodesh, very holy. Even when the Beis Hamikdash was standing with normal walls, you couldn't just allow any Kohen to walk there. Only those Kahanim that had to do the Avodah, for instance, bring the Ketoiris, or take in or take out the Chalas from the Shulchan, or the Madlik and Samanoira. Otherwise, you had no business going into the Heichel, and even between the Ulam La'azora, Ulam being the antechamber, thank you, prior to the Heichel, and between the Mizbeach, that's the second side of the Mizbeach, the other side when you're inside the Azara, even there, you weren't supposed to walk around just for naught, only if you're busy with doing kabbalas. So they didn't want, I'm sorry.
They didn't want any
hecklers. They didn't want hecklers, okay, very good, thank you. So, says the Gemara, that's the reason why they were careful that they were bona mibachutz. What does that mean? That let's assume for our discussion that the walls, in fact, were six amas wide. And you're putting the curtain there. The curtain, obviously, is only a fraction of the thickness of the wall. So you can go and put the curtain at the inner edge of where the wall is going to stand eventually, or you can put it at the outer edge of where the wall is going to stand eventually. By the Heichel, they made sure to go and put up the curtain at the inner edge. Why? So that when the workers would come and actually build the wall, they wouldn't step into the Heichel. They would be able to go until the curtain, and then they would build the walls in that six amas minus the 2 inches, whatever the thickness of the curtain, but they were able to then go and build the Heichal wall from the outside without having to go and trespass into the inside, so that they shouldn't become, like Shelley said, they shouldn't become hecklers.
And they should know that if they go inside, there will be curtains for them.
Oh, perfect. That's beautiful. Thank you. Now, when it comes to the Azara, however, they didn't have that same degree of hakpada, and so therefore they allowed by the Azara to go and put the curtains at the outer edge so that they could build the wall within the confines of the Azara, since the Azara is not the same level of Kedusha as the Heichal. So that's what Reb Elezer is telling us. Rashi adds even another point. The reason why it's important to have these curtains in the first place is because it says in the Pasuk that you're only supposed to bring karbonos every morning in the Beis HaMikdash or the Mishkan. Asher Pesach Oil Moed. Asher Pesach Oil Moed means that the doorway to the Ulam and to the Heichal have to be open when you bring a carbon inside the Azar. Now you can only open up doors to the Oil Moed, to the Ulam and to the Heichal, if there is a structure there. If it's just totally open, there's no Pesach Oil Moed, there's nothing open, there's nothing closed, it's all open. So therefore they put up the Kalayim, and presumably in the middle of the curtains there was a doorway, which they would pull back the curtain, and that curtain, when they pulled it back in the morning, that became the Pesach Oil Moed for the first 22 years of the building of that bais. This is what Reb Elezer told us. The Amar of Yeshua, and Reb Yeshua said, notice Reb Elezer starts off, Shemati, this is what I heard, Masoira. The Amar of Yeshua, Shemati, I heard, Shemakriv and Alpha Bishain Bayis, you could bring karbonis even in the absence of a base of English. Oichun Kachi Kachim, you can go and eat Kachi Kachim in the confines of where the Beis HaMikdash stood, Alpha Bishain Kalayim, even if there are no inner walls or inner curtains. And you can eat Kachim Kachim Kalim, Masa Sheni, Alpha Bishain Chayma, even if there's no wall, if the wall of Yishalayim Chasa Shalom is destroyed, you can still eat Kachim Kalim and Masa Sheni within the area where the wall was. That Kedusha remains until today, says Rabbi Yeshua. So therefore, the Mokam HaMikdash still has that same degree of holiness. And the Mizbeach has its degree of holiness. So even if the Mizbeach is not there, and even if the Beis HaMikdash is not there, you could theoretically go and bring a carbon in that Mokam HaMikdash. This was, by the way, as you all know, a very hot item, a hot topic in the beginning of the, from the beginning of the 1800s to the middle of the 1800s, when there were people in Eretz Yisrael that were talking about the idea of bringing a Korban Pesach on Erev Pesach. Because after all, Tzachiv, everybody has to go and bring such a Korban. So you can tell me that there is no Beis HaMikdash. Depends on how you paskin this Shaila. If you paskin like Rabbi Yeshua, that you can be makrib alva pishein bayis, and that you can go and even eat kachim kalim within the confines of Yerushalayim without a choyma, neshekedush v'shoyin ekitsh v'tzat ekitsh v'tzalavai, sounds great. So of course there are many other conditions that all have to be met. You're going to go and say, well, but everybody's tummy, how can they go over? So, but you have to go and do avoida with a big day kohen hedget. So make a big day kohen hedget.
In Yizrika Saddam,
all of these shaylos were dealt with, and there are svarim, which are collections of many of the tshuvas that were written at that time, and many of the tshuvas written by the greatest of the great. You have Rabbi Kiva Egin, Chassam Sofer, and many other great gedolim at that time wrote tshuvas about this. Chassam Sofer ends at the very end of his tshuva that even if you could resolve and address every one of the halachic concerns, his own personal opinion is you shouldn't do it anyway, because you're just going to go and write oath. You're just going to aggravate and irritate, antagonize the goyim, and that's therefore it's not going to be safe for the Jews, and so therefore maybe just leave it alone.
Who said that?
The Chassam Sofer. Anyway, our own Jules Brody, Zechon Lebracha, his grandfather wrote a sefer on this topic, and he always would go and talk about it, and he distributed copies of his grandfather's sefer. But let's getting back to our Gemara. So that's what Rabbi Yeshua holds and held. So now, since we have two man the Omrim in the Mishnah, we have Reb Elezer and Reb Yeshua, even though it doesn't say crystal clearly that there is a machlokus between them, but the Gemara, at least in the Havamina, assumes that since Reb Yeshua holds kedusha rishona, kitcha l'shatav, kitcha l'asav lavoi, and therefore the kedusha of the Beis Hamikdash is still there today, even though it's charev, and therefore theoretically you could still bring karbanos there today. And since Rebbe Elazar apparently didn't hold that way, the chlal der Rebbe Elazar sava loy kitcha l'asav lavoi. And if he holds like kitcha l'asav lavoi, that would be exactly like Rabbi Yitzchak said at the top of the Yomid. If you go back to Rabbi Yitzchak on the second line, the reason why he held that you can bring karbanos today, bebeis chonyoi, skip a line, kasavik, lush, yishoy, nikish, lushata, vavai, kitch, ilos, alavai. And therefore, Rabbi Yitzchak would be able to hang his hat, so to speak, on Reb Lezer. So even though our Mishnah is against Rabbi Yitzchak, and that second Mishnah is against Rabbi Yitzchak, but he has Reb Lezer that's on his side. At least that's how the Gemara learns at this point. Only Rabbi Ravashi, so Rabbi says, Ravashi, Mimai, who says? Maybe even Rabbi Lezer subscribes to what Rabbi Yeshua said. This Mishnah is really not so much a halachic Mishnah, although it has halachic ramifications, but it's really more of a Shmuas type of Mishnah, that it's telling us historical accounts as Rabbi Lezer recites and as Rabbi Yeshua recited. The Rebbe says, Shemati, I heard kach v'kach about the kolayim, even though it makes no difference today. Didn't have kolayim. After all, the Beis Hamikdash is no longer. And Rabbi Yeshua similarly saying, Rabbi Yeshua is already talking a little bit more lemaisa even today. But the point is, who says that there's a machlaikis? Even Rabbi Lezer, maybe he holds just like Rabbi Yeshua, and all he was doing was attesting to what he had heard about the building of the Beis Hamikdash with the kolayim and the heichal and the azara, etc. Maybe you're going to go and tell me if that's the case. If in fact Rebbe Elazar holds like Rebbe Yehoshua, and Rebbe Yehoshua holds that the Kedusha of the Beis Hamikdash is still existing today, so then remember what did Rebbe Yehoshua say? Rebbe Yehoshua said that Shemati, that Ochlin Kodshi Kodshim Afal Pisha Ein Kolayim. You don't need the Kolayim to be able to go eat in the Beis Hamikdash. Why not? Because the Kedusha is there even without the Kolayim. So why did Rebbe Elazar tell us, wow, I heard that the Kolayim, who cares that there were Kolayim? According to Mishua, these are totally superfluous, if you will. Says the Gemara, Rebbe Elazar was telling us another lesson, not lagavi, hilchois, bringing karbanos, or eating karbanos, but the tznius of the Alma, he's coming to tell us that there should be a degree of tznius, meaning that since the heichal is a very holy place, if there's that holy place is because of the intimate relationship that Kodesh Baruch Hu has with Klal Yisrael, and the Kodesh Kadoshim, of course, is even holier, so that there should be a tznius to divide between the Azara, where everybody could see and everybody could walk, at least in the beginning of the Azara, and the Heichal, which was a very special place for the intimate relationship. So tznius, that's the reason why I put up the Kolayim. But it could very well be it had nothing to do with Kedusha Shoyne, Kedusha L'Shat, Kedusha L'Shat. So therefore we have no Raya from that Brisa. So to Elikani tonight, but I have another Brisa. Desanya, Amr Bishmol Bereb Yoisi. That was really a Mishnah. But now we have a Raya from a Brisa. The same within the Brisa. Amr Bishmol Bereb Yoisi. Rabbi Shimon, remember the name of Shmuel Rabbi Yosi. Lama manu chacham mes'elu. Why did the chachamim go and enumerate these? Now, what is he referring to? So Rashi tells us, if you look at the final perek in Mesechtes Erchin, in that perek they have a Mishnah which lists Orim, which were mukuf choyma miyemois Yeshua benun. How many are listed there? 9 Orim are listed as miyemukuf choyma from the times of Yeshua. So now, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yosi says, why does that Mishnah list 9 of them? When the Bnei HaGoyla came up, meaning in the times of Ezra and Nehemiah, Matuas Elu, they found these 9 cities, they kidshum, they were mekadish them, they imbued them with a new kedusha. How do you imbue cities with a new kedusha? So Rashi reminds us of the Gemara Masechta Shavuos, you have to go and do it, b'minyan, and with toidois, and with shir,
with shefer,
yeah, and then the machlokes, you need the Sanhedrin, you need the Bezan HaGadol, you need the Kohen Gadol, you need the Melech. Anyway, that's more of a Masechta Shavuos. But you can go.
I understand your shalayim when you want to expand the area for kachin kavim to be eaten.
Not finished yet. So lama manu chacham maseilu, because they wanted to mekadesh them. Abel Rishonos, meaning all the other cities which were similarly situated that were built in the times of Yeshua ben Nun and had a chayim in which Yeshua ben Nun, Balo Mishabala Aretz, their status as Bati Ori Chayma became Batal when the Batal Aretz, meaning the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, the din of Kidshu L'Shata, Kidshu L'Salavi, is not only a Yerushalayim and a Beis HaMikdash Halacha, but this applies to Eretz Yisrael generally. Now you're going to ask me, what are the ramifications about whether a city is Bati Ori Chayma Bizman Hazeh or not Bati Ori Chayma Bizman Hazeh? Well, the obvious one is, since we're learning Maseches Megillah, when do you go and lay in the Megillah? Do you lay it on Yudal or do you lay it on Tezvah? Since we said earlier on in the Masechta that we measure Makafis Chayim Moise Yeshua Ben Nun, would you say that there are only nine left which are enumerated in the Mishnah and not the others? Said to Shomer B'Yosi, that's right. Only the nine which are set forth in that Mishnah have a din of Bati Ori Chayma, and therefore that's where you would go and lay on Tezvah. There are other halachas as well, as Rashi brings in the Yomid Beis. For instance, the simple halacha of Bati Ori Chayma, if a person sells a bias in that year, he has a right of redemption for 1 year. Then lo yigoel ad lo yisloy shana smima the kai the kom habayis asher beir asher lo yichoyim latzmisis lakoyin lo yisim deroysel lo yeitze vayoyim. Rashi says here a third nafkimin on the Amud Beis legabe the halacha of shiluach metzayra. The metzayra has to be chutz lamachne. If it has a wall, it has to be beyond the walls of the city, or where the walls were at one time.
The word kedushim and arichoma are equivalent halachic terms.
These are not synonymous terms. It's saying that just like there's a din of kedusha of Yerushalayim for purposes, for instance, of eating the kachuv kalim and maaseh sheni. So similarly, the walls that had a choyma throughout Eretz Yisrael, if they were re-niskadesh, if there was a new sanctification in the times of Ezra and Nehemiah, then they retain a kedusha.
But halachically, what does it mean if a city outside of Eretz Yerushalayim has kedusha? It has
kedusha
a
for these three halachas. Number
kedusha
one.
Kedusha means orichoma.
Orichoma halachas, not the Gomri Kabbalah.
Okay.
The dinum of orichoma.
Right, kedusha, so kedusha means as far as their orichoma status persists.
Correct. So, exactly right.
So it's only these nine. I thought Mipi Svara, just any city, but the orichoma is any walled city, and therefore, because it's a different type of
hold your horses, we're not done yet. This is the first Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. It says the fact that we have nine enumerated in the Mishnah, these were in Niskadish. Avo Rishoynes, Botlu, Misha Botla, Oretz, the others, no more. Alma Kasav, Kedusha, Rishoynes, Kitcha, Shata, Veloi Kitcha, Liyasa, Lavi, the Kedusha, the Dinei, Bote, Arichayma, do not remain frozen forever, but rather, they are now Botl, Umavotl, we'll have to re-sanctify them either in times of Ezra and Nehemiah, or when the Mashiach will come, we'll sanctify them at that time. But in the meantime, Gurish.
And therefore, you wouldn't apply the laws
of the Bati Ori Chayma to all those other cities. So you would lay, for instance, in Yudalit and not on Tezvat. And if you sold the house over there, you wouldn't have the 1 year. Exactly. And you wouldn't have the 1 year right of redemption. And so on and so forth. Frank Moraminu, I'll ask you a kasha from another Brisa. And note that the time of this Brisa is also Omri Bishmo Bir Reb Yoisi. When we look at that Mishnah in Erchen, where it says that there were only nine Ori Bate Chayma, only those. Well, let's look in the Chumash. If we look in Sefer Dvarim, it says Shishim Ir Kol Chevel Argoiv. There were 60 cities. Uksiv Kol Eila Orim Betzurais Chayma Gevoya Delasayim Uvriach. These were very well fortified with walls. So there were 60 cities at the time already of Moshe Rabbeinu, which means times of Moshe and Yehoshua. And you're telling me that there were only nine? Why were these enumerated in the Mishnah? Because when the Bnei HaGoyla came up, meaning in the times of Ezra and Nehemiah, Matsu Elu, they found them, the Kidshim, and they were Mekadish them. Frey Timora, they were Mekadish them, Kidshim, Hashto. Ayo Amri, doesn't it say at the end of that Mishnah in Masechtas Erchin, which we have not learned yet, but which the Gemara is going to quote in another line, that not only these nine cities, but all those which are similarly situated, as the Gemara will go and quote in another moment. So Timora, Isai Bazai, since that, why don't we just skip for the two lines so I won't keep you all in suspense? So go to the end of the second line from the top of the Amud, V'loi Eilu B'vod, now on to the third line, Ela kol shetal lechom mesoides b'yorcham yabisecha, if you have a mesoide, shemukefes choymi moizu shu benon, kol ha-mitzes ha-lola nehagin ba, m'neshik dushu rishon, nekin shal shat, nekin shal yosed lovay. So that Mishnah says, even though we're only enumerating nine, those nine we know for sure. But if you have a mesoides b'yadech me'abisecha, you can prove it, you can show it, you have a mesoide, then it's not only the nine. Up to all the 60, and perhaps even more.
Even if they no longer walk?
Even if they no longer walk. They still have a din of mukaf choymi mois yishua minan. So that being the case, so now, going back to the top of the Amid, why does it say in that Mishnah that chozer v'kidshim, hasho amri, top line, loitzricha v'kidushay, didn't you just say now that if you have a mesoyle v'yachma v'secha that has mukaf choyma, then fine. Then the Kedusha remains. It's Kitchen Loss of Lavai. I don't need Ezra Nechemi to Mekadosh it once again. Ella. So therefore we are changing the Lashon of the Braisa. Not that Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi said about these nine that Kitchen. Ella Matu as Elu Umanum. But rather they just enumerated them. They counted them. Since they came back into Eretz Yisrael, most of Eretz Yisrael had been Chorev as a result of the Chorban Bayis Rishon. So they went from city to city, town to town, place to place, and then they made a list and said, oh, Baruch Hashem, these nine, the walls are still intact, or these nine we can identify where they were, etc. And then the Mishnah said, So now, this is the second brisa. What did it say in the first brisa? The first brisa said, no. They have to mekadesh them again. Why? On the second wide line? Because I'm showing this bottle, we should bottle our it. I'm the conservative condition showing the kishash of. So therefore, I have a machloikis between these two brises. Do I say that all of the other bati archoima remain intact with all of their dinim and all of their kedusha like they were originally, notwithstanding the lucharev? Or do you say no? So the same machloikis we would have by us in Yerushalayim as well. Do you say that Yerushalayim continues to have all of its kedusha, and therefore, even today, you can go and bring karbonis, even though there's no Beis HaMikdash, and even though there's no wall, you can go and bring the kachim, and then you can go and eat the kachim kalamas in Yerushalayim? That's if you hold kitchen loss of love. But if you hold lay kitchen loss of love, then you cannot. So therefore, this whole shayla of our Gemara is really a machloikis tanoim, as identified by these two prices. And that's the conclusion of the Gemara, that it's a machloikis. But before we go back to that, the Gemara now asks a very simple kasha. We started off the first brisa of Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, and we started off the second brisa of Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. So both brises, both the one that holds kitchen loss and lovey, and the one that holds loy kitchen loss and lovey, is the same on the Amar. Frey Timora Kaji Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, Adam Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. Frey Tanoia Lidr Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. There was a machlokes between the Talmid and Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. What did the Rebbe really say? He said, Yor Kitcher, Tanish Kitcher. But you say, Maharab Lazar Rabbi Yossi Amra, that one of the two was not Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, but Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Yossi, which presumably was his brother. This Sanya we have in the Bryce, and we had this Gemara already at the beginning of the Masechta. Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Yossi Aymer, it says in the Pasuk, Asher loy choyma. This is a pasuk, of course, by the Bate Ori Choyma. And the exact pasuk is, Vim lo yigoel ad loy shona samima. Vekom abayis asher be'ir asher loy choyma. And you see that it has this lamed vav aleph. Now, exactly what that means, this lamed vav aleph, is a machloikis rishoinim, not here in our Gemara, but elsewhere, where Rashi learns that the proper girsa in the Chumashim and in the Sifrei Torah is Lamed Vav Aleph, those three letters. And therefore, that's obviously a merger of two separate words. Loi with an Aleph meaning no wall. Lamed Vav with a Vav meaning yes, it does have a wall. And therefore said, Rosh Rabbi Yossi, why did Kodesh Baruch Hu combine two words which seem to be inconsistent with one another?
One is lo, did not have, what's the other?
To it.
I got it, thank you.
So Asher Loi Chaim with a vav means it did have a wall. And Asher Loi Chaim with an aleph means it did not have a wall.
Right.
So therefore, Rabbi Blood says, what does this mean? The aleph mishen le'achsha, as long as it had at one time a wall, even though now it has no wall, it's still fine, the kedusha remains. So this is Rabbi Lozer Biyosef. See, he is in the second brisa we had that was not necessary to mekadesh it again because it remains kedusha forever. It's not Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yosi. It's Rabbi Lozer Rabbi Yosi. That's how Rashi learns elsewhere. The Tosis disagrees with the Rashi, and Tosis says in all of our svarim it just says one of the two ways. I believe it says loy lamed aleph, but we read it lamed vav. For us Ashkenazim, we don't know how do you pronounce one differently than the other. Presumably among the Tamanites, the Yemenites, or others, they may have different pronunciation for loy with an aleph and loy with a vav, just like they pronounce the aleph and the ayins differently, like Yair always pronounces it differently. So anyway, the point is that what's the reason for the difference between the kri and the ksiv, the spelling and the reading? Again, for the same reason. So with this, we conclude that we have, in fact, a machlokes between Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Lozer Rabbi Yosi as to whether kitchul l'shat, the kitchul l'asal lovei, a loy kitchul l'asal lovei. So getting back to our Rabbi Yitzchak from the beginning of the sugya, Rabbi Yitzchak originally said that you could bring karbonis bezman hazeh beis chanyoi. Why? Because the kedusha of Yerushalayim did not remain loy kitchul l'asal lovei, and so therefore Yerushalayim doesn't have a monopoly of bringing karbonis. You can bring it any way you want. And then the Gemara attacked or challenged Rabbi Yitzchak from two Mishnayos, and Rava said that's why Rabbi Yitzchak withdrew his view and he changed his mind. So you remember that Barry asked earlier, didn't Rabbi Yitzchak know about these two Mishnayos? I mean, every Amoyer was responsible to know Mishnayos Baal Peh.
Right.
It's not a question of an obscure Braisa. Well, maybe that's not an authoritative Braisa, but there's not two Mishnayos. Moreover, now that we've concluded that it's a Machloikis Tanoim in these two Braises, Rabbi Yitzchak could stand up proudly and say, I hold not like the first Mishnah, and not like the second Mishnah. I hold like the first Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yosi that says that loy kitchul l'asal lovei, each time you got to be mekadesh it from new. And since they were not mekadesh Yerushalayim from new after the Churban Beis Hamikdash, there's no kedusha left, therefore you can go and worship in Beis Chanya. You can put up a bumper wherever you want. This kasha, or these kashas that we're asking, that's the second choices from the top. And he quotes Reb Chaim. I doubt if he means Reb Chaim Brisker, but he quotes Reb Chaim, you see, on the second Tosis from the top, fourth line. Hikshir Reb Chaim, umetchila hechi amon avilse. How did Reb Yitzchak initially hold that you're allowed to be makrib in Beis Chanyoi? V'chilei hoi yodeya ha-mishnah? Didn't he know the Mishnah? V'alei hein shkuriz b'fi kol. After all the Amayroim knew Gantz. She should say the Mishnah Baal Peh. So he didn't know our Mishnah. If you're going to tell me he didn't know Mishnah Chvayis and Uktzin and Taharis, well, we had in the Gemara already that there were periods of time that they didn't have the yeshivas learning Taharis. Okay, so that's a little bit obscure. But this is the Chamishnah Megillah. I mean, everybody knows the Chamishnah Megillah Baal Peh. I mean, what type of... V'oikash, kimet de Tanoi, since the Gemara eventually concludes that it's a Machloikis Tanoim, and my other may, right. Why do you have to go and switch his mind? Change his mind. That's the reason why I said we'll wait for your kashas at the end. So you have both kashas.
You didn't disappoint me, go ahead. The kach
near the Bim Chaye, the Kuli Alma Moidi, the Mishabo'ul Yerushalayim, Nesru Habamais. Once they came to Yerushalayim, like our Mishnah says, Kedusha Shalayim, Ein Achreya Heter. Nesru Abbas. Vishuv Loi Hoyu Lehen Heter. Mahani Tanoi Bahopligi. So what's the Machlek is down below? The man the Omer Lei Kitcha Sava, the Af Bimekoimai Shal Mizbeach, Ein Yechoyim Lehakriv Achshav. Even in the Mokam of Mizbeach, where the Beis Midrash is standing, you cannot bring today, because Loi Kitcha Liyasa Lovei. The man the Omer Kitcha Sava, the Mokam Mizbeach, Mutter Lehakriv. That where the Mizbeach is, you can bring our carbon, avaloi b'bama, meaning that their machloikis is not legabe b'mois, their machloikis is legabe whether you could bring a carbon today in Yerushalayim,
if
in
you,
the Mokim HaMikdash,
if you knew the Mizbeach was.
If you were able to go and identify, okay, based on old records and charts and measurements exactly where the Mizbeach was, you'd be able to go and bring it even though there is no Mizbeach. And back in Masechta Zvachim, the Gemara brought, there was a man, the Yom that said, that you can go and do the Shechita on the floor of the Azara, which was always they did the Shechita, and then they did the Zrika on the Mokam HaMizbeach, as opposed to on the actual walls.
Kira Mizbeach.
On the Kira Mizbeach, you don't have walls, so just doing the makam, whatever the makam was. You do it on
the zrikas and the makam and the Eben Shesia where the Aram was.
Oh, very good.
So how do you the Mal Mechutas Zrika Lamad?
So you toss it up. But I still don't understand how Rav Yitzchak could say.
1 second. So, yeah. That's one second. So therefore, the machloek is down below, does not deal with Beis Chonyoy, but rather deals with Yerushalayim itself. Can we continue bringing karbanos today in Yerushalayim? Yes, if you hold Kitchen Loss and Lovay. If you hold one Kitchen Loss and Lovay, you cannot bring a carbon in Yerushalayim. And therefore, neither of them is really dealing with Beis Chonyoy, because even the Madhyama that says Loi Kitchen Loss and Lovay, that just means that you cannot go and bring Yerushalayim, but you can't bring anywhere else either.
Right.
Why? Because Avaloi Bama. Bamas are Asr according to everybody. And that's why Rabbi Yitzchak had to go and withdraw his original ruling. But now the question is, But didn't Rabbi Yitzchak know of the Mishnah? The Mishnah said Yerushalayim in Acharei HaHeter. So the Marsha discusses this as well as later Achrayim. And what they want to say is that Rabbi Yitzchak initially understood the machloikis of Kitcha Rishayin, Kitcha Las Lovay, that in fact, if Loi Kitcha Las Lovay, not only can you not bring a carbon in Yerushalayim, but now it's a free for all, right. You can bring it anywhere, including the Beis Chonyoy. But after he saw the multiple Mishnah, and he understood the Machloikis, like Tosis concludes that it's only Gabi Yerushalayim, that's when he went and withdrew his position, changed his mind, and said, you know what? Yerushalayim is a Machloikis, but Beis Chonyoy is certainly Osir, and therefore I withdraw and change my mind. Anyway, there's a lot of discussion among the Achronim about this, but you see, Barry started with the whole discussion. Shkoyach, it's great to have you back. And now that we've concluded that, we are up to Vayhi Bimei Achashverosh, three lines before the wide lines.
So it's interesting in terms of Bertei Koma, we have all these 60 cities, we don't even know where they are, but if you hold Kitchelas, so all these 60 would have the data about the Koma.
That's correct. We don't even know if they exist today. Many of them may be just a Chorv, and there are other cities to the right and to the left, but maybe those actual cities don't exist. Who knows? The only one that has any Masoid is Yerushalayim.
Even that, the Ir Atika is not the Ir David that had the walls of the time. Okay. It's a successor, but it's not the same walls.
It doesn't have to be, because we said Asher Loi Chayma, and of course we pass on like the Yom Rishu Ben Levi that says that even Samach have a Pishay Nanir, and Nir have a Pishay Nesamach, and that's why the whole new city of Yerushalayim, where everybody agrees it wasn't within any walls,
right.
But nevertheless, it's Nir of a Samach, and that's why you can go and lay, you have to lay in Shushan Bor. Good. So now, you recall, on the third line from the top, we spoke about kosher tal lechom mesoides biyadecha mi'avoisecha, and that's perhaps the reason why we're starting off with this memra of Reb Levi. Vayivim me'achashverish, om Reb Levi mi'seima Reb Yonison, dover zem mesoides biyadeinu mi'anche knesset agdol, we have a mesoide. The kolmokim shenema vayhi, wherever you find vayhi throughout Tanakh, eini el loshen tzar, although it starts off nicely, but eventually it's going to end off with tzar, meaning on a negative note. And the Gemara first gives about 5 or 10 examples. Vayivim me'achashverosh, havahaman, Haman was around the corner. Vayivim me'shvoid hashoitim, that's the first pasuk in Rus. Vayhi ra'av ba'aretz, that there was a terrible famine in the land. Vayhi kihechal adam l'roiv al pnei ha'adama. Oh, the population is expanding. Great news. That people, unfortunately, got together for bad and evil designs. What did they do? Let's go and build up a city. In other words, a Migdal Babel to go and fight against Kaviyah, against the Rabbi Yishlam. So each one of these starts off with a Vayihi, Vayihi, Vayihi. But look how it ends off. That was Muhammad, the four kings against the five kings. We had the Gemara at the beginning of the Masechta, where the Sar Tzvo Hashem says, you did two Averis. One was Bittul Torah, and the other one that you didn't bring the carbon Tamid. Which one did he really come for? Atabasi. Bittul Torah. Rashi brings the Grad over here. Doesn't bring the whole Gemara, but he brings part of the Gemara. If you look at the Rashi, 6 lines at the top. V'char v'shlufa, v'tziaroi, sh'echichaya, v'tol toyinu, v'tamashu ben ha'boyim, k'namu li'el, v'perikam adav gimel. So, that was the bad that happened, that the Teichocha to Yeshua for not doing the right thing. But here Hashem is Yeshua, and what happens? The Imal of Bnei Yisrael, this talks about the Imal of Ochan and Yericho that he took from the booty, he wasn't supposed to take from the booty. So that caused the Tzaras for Klal Yisrael. V'yesh Echad Min HaRasayim, what is that talking about? It's talking about Elkanah with his two wives, with Chana and Penina. And however, Ki Chana Oiv Hashem Sagarachma, there was Nebuchadnezzar, that Chana unfortunately had no children. Eventually she did, as we know. Right. Unfortunately, the children didn't follow in his same path. So it was by he, and it didn't end off so well. By he shol oyein as David. Oyein comes from the Russian ayin, that Shol had an ayin hara against David HaMelech because he was jealous. David HaMelech was drachem maskel v'shem imoy, and all of the people were saying, oh, David is great, and da da da, and therefore Shol was very jealous. So that is a negative aspect of this vayhi. Vayhi ki yoshev HaMelech v'beisoy, rakat alay simna boyis. This is talking about when David HaMelech the Melech, meaning David HaMelech, was in his Malchus. This starts off on a good note by he. You're not going to be Zoycha to go and build the base of English. It's going to be Shlomo Melech, your son.
Is
that good or bad?
Well, he got out of prison.
So you're saying that that is a good. By he.
Maybe.
So we're not done.
That's the beginning of the Shiva Mitzrayim.
But he said, don't be nervous, Mitzrayim. We're going to go through back and forth. We're not done yet. Faith more about Ksiv. You tell me every Vayhi involved Tsar. Vayhi beyon ma'ashmini. Vatani oisa yoyim oisa simcha of nekodesh baruch. Yoyim shnu rabbi shmai baaretz. Vayhi beyon ma'ashmini is referring to the binyan of the Mishkan. The inauguration of the Mishkan.
Yeah, not in the video though.
Oh, that's the next line. In the meantime, the Gemara assumes that's a gevaldige simcha. Yksiv ha'cha v'yiv yer mishmini. Yksiv ha'cha v'yiv yer v'yivayker yoyim echad. Just like the Rebbe who created the world in all of its purity, said it should be a mokum of Torah, a mokum of Yidin learning Torah. Of course, it didn't necessarily work out that way. There were sins later on. But at least initially, everything was great. And therefore, it's a gevaldige simcha v'nekad shparchu. So Gemara shachiv noda v'avil. It wasn't such a gracious simcha. I mean, initially it was, but eventually that vayhi brought on tzar, like the Gemara said before. Wherever it says vayhi, ain't a lashon tzar. There's a pasuk in Nach where it says that after 480 years of Yetzias Mitzrayim, finally the first base of Mikdash is being built. So therefore, that's good. And eventually they got married, and therefore that's good. Yeah, you know, there's love in Mitleya. The Gemara doesn't go into that. And I have Aita every one of the 6-7 days of Mas of Reishis. If we go throughout the whole Tanakh, we're bound to be able to find at least a few more where the Vayhis, no Tsar, everything was great, everything was beautiful. Brother Shai was suggesting a vayhi just a few moments ago. And therefore, Omer Ravashi, kol vayhi ikahachi liikahachi. If it just says vayhi alone, sometimes it's good, and sometimes not. Oder azoi, oder azoi. Yeah. Vayhi bimei, ene eloloshin tsar. It's vayhi then it's tsar. What are the vayhi bimeis? And the Gemara is going to quote three of the five that we're going to, the Gemara already quoted three, and we're going to add two more. What are the Chamisha? So Gemara Vehibi may have Chamisha Vehibi may have. There are five of them. Vehibi may Achashverosh. We had Haman. Vehibi may Shvoid Hashoiftim. This is the beginning of Rus. And we had the Ro'ov. We had the famine. Vehibi may Amrafa. We had the Machoikis, the battle of the four kings against the five kings. Now we add two more. Vehibi may Ochos. Ochos had a terrible, terrible war with Ritzin, the Melech of Aram, and Pekach ben Remaliyahu, and it was a great Samulchama, and so therefore that's the Tsar. You don't have the benefit of the full Torah or Hashalim. Vehibi may Ochaz ben Yoisim ben Uziyo Melech Yehuda, Ola Ritzin Melech Aram, Ufekach ben Remaliyahu Melech Yisrael Yerushalayim, La Melchama Olea, Vele Yochai Lihilochim Olea. So there was, unfortunately, a very terrible, tragic battle. So this Ochaz is the Tsar of that battle. Vehibi may Yehoyakim. This is talking about the first Golus, the Golus Yehoyakim, and then afterwards the Golus Yehoyachin, when Ebenebuch people were taken out into Golus, into Bavel. So that Vehibi may was not a good situation. So those five Vehibi mays are all negative, Yeshlom Tzar, but otherwise other Vehis, Amulazoi, Amulazoi, depends on the Pasha. So that was the first Reb Levi that we had. Now we're going to have two more Reb Levis with a Masayra. Again, the Omer Reb Levi, Dobre Ze, Masayra, Piyadein, Mabwe Seinu, Omoitz, Va'amatzia, Achim Hava. Omoitz and Amatzia were brothers. Now who is Omoitz and who is Amatzia? As we'll see in the Gemara shortly, Omoitz was the father of Yishayo Hanavi. Chazoin Yishayo Ben Omoitz, Asher Chazah, Al Yudavi, Rishaloyim. So that's Chazoin, that's the Parshas Chazoin, it's Yishayo Ben Omoitz. Yeah, that's etc. etc. Amatzia was one of the Malchi Yisrael. He was a Melech Yehuda, not Malchi Yisrael. He was a Melech Yehuda, and he was descended from David HaMelech. So our Gemara is telling us that Omoitz, the father of the Novi Yeshaya, and Amatzia, who is the king, those were brothers. So what does that mean? So I can't give them two aliyahs back to back. I mean, why do I care? So anytime you have a kala that's snua in her father-in-law's home by the shver, will be zoicha to have eventually a miklach who are melech and a novi. Minong and how he does it. The famous story of Yehuda and Tamar. He thought that Tamar, who was his daughter-in-law, he thought that that was a Zoyna because she went and was covering her face. It's the other way around. The Zoynas usually walk around the princess. They don't walk around the tzniyos. The fact that she covered her face, that would be a sign that she's a tzniyah, not that she's a Zoyna. When she was originally married to the son of Yehuda initially, long time before, so at that time, she was a very great tzinua, and he wouldn't even be able to recognize his own daughter-in-law because her face was always covered. Because of that, after the Maisa of Yehuda and Tamar, Zach says she was Zaycha B'yot Mena Malachim Unavim. What's Malachim Unavim? Malachim is Midavid. That, of course, no, David HaMelech is an enikel of Yehuda. You have this, not only of Yehuda, but also of Tamar. Right. How do we know this? At the end of Sefer Rus, it talks about Peretz, and the Peretz, how that is this one, and this one, and Yishai, and David. So David HaMelech comes directly from Tamar. So we see as a result of her tzniyos, she was zoicha to a melech. But how do we know a Navi? Oh, Navi is the Omer Reb Levi, so we didn't have to say him. So therefore we know that Yeshaya was a Navi. In addition to the fact that the Gemara is going to tell us later on that any time that you find a Navi quoted Ben his father, that you can assume that he's a Navi Ben Navi. So Omitz was also a Navi. But you don't have to come on to that. The fact of the matter that Omitz is a brother of Amatzia, and we're assuming that they were paternal brothers, and so therefore they're both coming out from the same lineage from David HaMelech and from Ruth and from Tamar. So if they're all coming from Tamar, so then we see that because of the tzniyos that Tamar had, not only she was zoicha to David HaMelech, but also to an enikel, Yishayo ben Omoitz, who was a nephew of Amatzia, who was the king of Klaisa.
David also was a Navi. David also heard Hednevoah from Hashem.
Wait, does it say that David
many times Hashem speaks to David in Sefer Shmuel. Should I go out? Should I conquer?
What you're saying is correct, but if you look at the list of Nevi'im, which is compiled in all of the Svarim, David's not mentioned, because he's a Melech, he's not considered to be a Navi.
I see.
The Omer Reb Levi, David the Messiah of Yehudah, we say, another Reb Levi, another Messiah of Yehudah, we say, no? The Mokom Oren, Einam and Ami, the very famous Chazal,
right,
that the Mokom Oren did not fill up any space in the Kodesh Kadoshim. What does that mean? It was 10 by 10. It was 10 square. When you're walking into the Kodesh Kadoshim, the word dvir over here doesn't mean the Kodesh Kadoshim. It means the curtain or the wall that is the machitza right before you enter into the Kodesh Kadoshim. So when you go in front of that, you'll see that the orech, the length of the Kodesh Kadoshim, was 20 amos. Okay, so far so good. Now we're not talking about the kruvim that were on top of the Arn in times of Moshe Rabbeinu. We're talking about the two kruvim that were manufactured by Shlomo Melech, and there were put into the Kodesh Kodashim, one to the right of the Aron, one to the left of the Aron. These were standing on the ground, and the Kanaf HaKruv, meaning the wing span for each one was 10 amas. So if you add the 10 amas wingspan of one Kruv and the 10 amas of the second, 10 plus 10 gets you to 20. And since the wingspan went the entire length from one Kruv to the other in the entire Kodesh Kodashim, so where did the Aron stand? So you can tell me, well, it stood there in the middle. But if it stood in the middle, then you should go and measure from end to end 30 amas. But if you measured, it was only 20 amas. That miraculously, although you saw with your own eyes, in the Kodesh Kodashim, the Aron was there, 10 amas, and this is 10 amas and 10 amas, it should all be 30. Nevertheless, the yardstick or the amastick only measured out 20 amas altogether. And with this we have concluded the three Reb Levis that said, Dover ze meseris b'yadeinu mi'aviseinu mi'anshei nesagdoila. The first one was the Gabi the Vayiz, the second one was the Gabi Amitz v'amachia, and the third one was the Gabi, the space of the Aron HaKodesh in the Kodesh Kadosh. From here now till the end of the Amid into tomorrow's Amid, tomorrow's Daf, the Gemara is going to tell us that many of the Amiroim were called upon to darshan on Purim or before Purim about the Megillah and about Purim, and they would always start with a shtickel hagdama. They wouldn't go directly jump into the Megillah, but they would say a little bit of an introduction. So Rabbi Yonis and Pasul Chapischam the High Parshas Mihach says in the Pasul Vikamti Aleihem and says Vichrati Lebavos Shem Usher the Nin Veneched Ni'um Hashem. So this is a prediction that the time will come, says the Navi, that Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to come up and he's going to be Hrati, I'm going to go and destroy for Babel its Shem, its She'er, its Nin, and its Nechet. One of these four, says the Gemara, Shem Ze Haksav, their script, that as a result of the Chorban of Babel, the Babylonians will no longer use their own font or their own script. They're going to have to go and borrow one from another nation. She'er, they're going to lose Ze Loshin, they're going to lose their Aramaic, their sprach, their language. The bottom Toisi says, but even today, not the bottom Toisi, the first of the two bottom Toisis, even today, there are people who speak Aramaic.
Right.
That was the Babylonian language. What are you telling me that language has been wiped out? So therefore, there was a special royal language, and that was lost at the time of the Chorban of Babel. Okay, good. They're Lashon. Nin Zem Malchus. We normally say Nin nowadays means a great grandson, a grandson. How does Nin get to Malchus? Rashi brings a pasuk about the word Yinoin, that Yinoin means Malchus. If you look at the Rashi in the left hand margin, Nin, about halfway down. Lashon Memshalim, Achen Yinoin Shmai, Yimshal Yigal. So anyway, so the word Nin, it means Malchus, Zem Malchus, so that Malchus will be destroyed. The Neched Zu Vashti, the Neched of Nebuchadnezzar with Vashti, and as we know, she was killed, as we know from the very beginning of the Megillah. So therefore, this is the introduction that Nebuchadnezzar and Bavel and Vashti, and all of these are going to be destroyed, and that's how we started off talking about the Megillah. This is the way he started off. It says in the Pasuk, Tachas ha-natzut yale v'roish v'sachas ha-sirpad yale hadas. I'm sure you all remember that this is familiar to you. We lay this always at the Haftorah on a Tanis, on the Mincha of a Tanis. So tachas ha-na'atzutz means instead of a thorn, yale v'roish, a nice bush is going to come up, and the English article says that it's cypress, C-Y-P-R-E-S-S, which I assume is a very nice bush or a nice tree or whatever. V'sachas ha-sirpad, sirpad is similar to thorns, it's like thistles, things of that nature. Yale hadas, we're going to have instead a hadasim tree, a myrtle tree. And therefore, what does all of this mean? Although normally the word natzut means a thorn, however, in these circumstances, in this context, it means avoid zarah. So natzut is therefore referring to avoid zarah, and Haman, as we know, made himself the avoid zarah. Everybody should have to bow down to Haman of Russia. And Yalev Roish, Zem Mordechai, Tachas HaNatzutz, instead of Haman, came up Mordechai. Why is Mordechai the Roish? Shinikra, Roish, L'chol HaPsam. Because Mordechai is considered to be like the preeminent one of all of the some of all of the nice spices. What does Mordechai have to do with spices? Shenema, the atakachach of the sum of roish, mor deror. And the targum of the word mor deror is mori dichi. Mori dichi is like the word Mordechai, and it's saying kachach of the sum of roish. Sum roish means the best and the finest of all of the some that were used for the Ketoidus, if used for the Levoina, go and take the Mordor, Moridichi. That's what we meant, that Mordechai became the Rosh. And that's the Pshat in the Pasuk, even though the Pasuk writes it V'Rosh with a Vav, but you read it as if it's Rosh with an Aleph, just like the Loi with the Loi. But over here, of course, we don't have a contradiction between Loi Choyma and Loi Choyma. Here, Yalav Rosh means the choicest of the cypress bushes that are going to grow, and here too, Mordechai was the choicest of the leaders of Klal Yisrael. V'sachas asirpot yale hadas asirpot tachas vashti harisho vas benoi shel Nebuchadnezzar harasha. She was an ayin called Nebuchadnezzar. She sorav refidas beis Hashem. Tchsev refidosai zohav. So the refidosai zohav is referring to the Beis Hamikdash. Refida means the mokum menucha of the Shechina in the Beis Hamikdash. He was sorav the Refidas Beis Hashem, he destroyed the Beis Hamikdash. So the word Sirpod is a contraction of Saraf, the Sor of Saraf, and the Pad from Refidas, that's the Sirpod. So Tachas HaSirpod Yal Hadas, instead of Vashti, who is an Enikol of the one that burned the Beis Hamikdash Nebuchadnezzar, Yal Hadas Uaster, HaTzadekish Nikris Hadasa Shnevi Yoimir Es Hadasa. And the pasuk continues on, "V'ha'yeh l'Hashem l'Shem zu mikra megillah la'ois oylam lo yikares elu yimei purim." So that the second half, "la'ois oylam lo yikares elu yimei purim," is fine, because if you remember, we had the Gemara quoted the pasuk before, "V'zichram le'yosef mizaram," that for all generations we're always going to celebrate Purim even till today, and therefore "la'ois oylam lo yikares we make Purim forever." But to go and say "V'ha'yeh l'Hashem l'Shem zu mikra megillah" is a little bit ironic, because throughout the Megillah, Hashem's name doesn't even appear.
Right.
So why does the Gemara say "Vayeshem Hashem L'Shem Zu Mikra Megillah"? Zokta Marsha, it doesn't say Megillah; it says Mikra Megillah. Every time you read the Megillah, you make the bracha. Oh, so when you make the bracha, so you have Hashem's name, bracha to Hashem, where you say Hashem's name when you're going to start Mikra Megillah. When he said the parasha, he started with Akdama. Vahoya, this pasuk, as we know, is unfortunately part of the Toichecha. At the end of parasha's Kisavoy, Vayakasher Sos Hashem Aleichem Lehitiv Eschem Kin Yosef Hashem Chasr Shalom. Here it says more Lahara Eschem, but it's really a mistake. It should say Lahavid Eschem, because the Lashon pasuk is not Lahara, but Lahavid. Let's see Lamed Ches down below here. In this Torah of Shalom, because Shasos Hashem Aleichem Haitiv Eschem, Harvis Eschem, Ken Yos Hashem Aleichem, Lahavid Eschem, Ulahashmid Eschem, and Isachtem Nialu Adoma Shabbat, Atom Hashem Larishta. So Hashem is going to be happy, so to speak, Chas Hashem Lahavid Eschem, Lahashmid Eschem, to go and destroy it. Thank you, Gemara. Umichodi Chachbok Matos Shal Rishayim. Is a Chachbok happy when Rishayim have their Mapola boxiv? It says Lufnei Hacholit Va'oimrim Hoidu Lashem. Kili oylam chastoy. Now notice, it's missing two key words. Hoydu Hashem. Normally we would automatically say Hoydu Hashem ki toiv, kili oylam chastoy. But it doesn't say ki toiv. Now when is this pasuk being recited? Rashi says, in Yehoshaphat, when he was going out to Melchama, against the Ammonim and against the Gevoinim, what did he say? He said, he would go and say, Raboisai, we're now fighting against our enemies, we have emunah mitochen to Hashem, let's call out, Hoidu Hashem, Kili Oyim Chase, the Chesed Hashem is here, and he's going to help us. But Yom Rav Yechem, Nima Alinemar, Kitoiv, why didn't say Hoidu Hashem, Kitoiv, Kili Oyim Chase? Lefishen, Akash Baruch Hu, Sameach, Mepalos, and Shor Rishoyim. Because even though, Miyat Hashem, we're going to be victorious, says Yehoshaphat, but unfortunately our enemies are going to have a Mapala, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu is not happy. So therefore we leave out the Kitoiv to go and show that the Kodesh Baruch Hu, although the victors are going to win, we're going to win, but Hashem is not happy about the enemies losing. This of course is talking about Mitzrayim and Klal Yisrael at the times of the Kriyas Yamsiv. The Malachim wanted to go and say Shira about the Mapola of the Mitzvim. Shira. Now, when does it say Velikar of Zeh El Zeh having to do with Malachim saying Shira? Zung the Mafarishim, because it says in the Pasuk, and we quote that always in the Kedusha, Kakosiv al yad neviyecha. What does it say after that? Vikara ze el ze viyamar kodesh kodesh. Ah, that's vikara ze el ze. The malachim wanted to get together. Vikara ze el ze. They wanted to go and say kedusha or shira or hallel or what have you. And Gadol Yisrael said, no. V'loy kara ze el ze. Don't get together to go and say shira, because Matthew tam liyom viyatam oimrim shira. Anyway, so what do we see from this? That a Kodesh Baruch Hu takes pains, if you will, that you shouldn't go and say Shema Pelosim Chel Rishayim. So if that's the case, why does it say in this pasuk, Vayikasher Sosa Shem Aleichem, Ke Yosef, Yosis, Chas Hashem, Lehavet Eschem, Lehavet, Kodesh Baruch Hu should be happy. Every Amr Blazar, who ain't a Sosa, Blechelem Mesis, Kodesh Baruch Hu on his own will never, Chas Hashem, be happy, Pelosim Chel Rishayim, especially if the Mapola is Yin Nevach. He's never happy, but Acherim, the Toichel is telling us, if Yidin will sin, Hashem Yisbarach will allow our enemies to go and be Mesis, to be happy. They cannot be chassid, that's why it says the Pasuk, Kein Yosis, which is a Lashon Hifil, to cause others to be happy, for like Siv Yosus, or Yosois, not that the Kodesh Baruch is happy. Chas Hashem, the Kodesh Baruch is not happy, the Pamaya Shemal is not happy, the Malachim, none of those are happy. But Hashem will allow others, our enemies, to be happy when they vanquish us, Chas Hashem. Shemagin. Reb Abba Bar Kahana Pasuk LaPischol Yavishos Miyachar. It says the Pasuk Adam Shetayim Lefon of Nosan Chochma V'Das V'Simcha, and then the Pasuk continues on V'Lachoyte Nosan Inyan Lesayf V'Lichnois, and then it says Laseis L'Toyv L'Thnei V'Lekim. And the Gemara now darshens each segment of the Pasuk. The Adam Shetayim Lefon of Nosan Chochma V'Das V'Simcha Zeh Mordechai Atzadik Kadosh Baruch Hu gave him all of those brachos. Chochma V'Das Simcha. Who was the chote? Losis toiv lefnei olakim ze mordechai the Esther. What is that losis letoiv? Tchsev atosim Esther es mordechai al beis haman, that he was elevated in the base on top of beis haman, of course in the malchus generally. And so that's the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave losis letoiv lefnei olakim to go and give them that toiv, to give them that higher stature. And finally for today, Rabba Bar Ofra and Basel Hapiskole Pai Peshas Miyacha, it says in the Pasuk, Samti Kisi Bi Elam, because Baruch says, I'm going to put my Kisei in Elam, Vavadit Misham Melech Vesar, I'm going to go and destroy the Melech Vesar. Now, the word Elam may not be familiar to us, however, Rashi tells us at the very end that Shushan was in Elam, like it says in Sefer Daniel. Bishushana Birasha Bi Elam Hamadina. Oh, so we're talking about Shusha. So we're talking about the Maisa of Purim. So the Kisei is going to be in Shusha. Favadina will destroy Melech Vesarim. Melech Zo Vashti. Actually, Malka. Melech Zo Vashti. Vesarim Ze Haman Vaser is one of the world being destroyed. So that's the last of the Haktabas. We'll continue Mitchum tomorrow. Just one side note, that this final Mandiyama that we just quoted now is Rabar Bar Oifron. Says the final Toises, make sure to put the Vav in the right place. Oifron, and don't write with above Ephraim. The shame Rishon Yirka, but they must be Shema. You shouldn't go and give the name to a person with the name of Ephraim. Ephraim, we know, is a bad guy from the story about in Chayesar about the Moritz Machpelas. He was a bad guy. So don't call a Jew by the name of Ephraim. His name wasn't Ephraim. His name was Oifron. There's a famous Chamsoifah says that the reason why Koirach went Litar Bisra, because his father ignored this halacha. We didn't say anything bad about Koirach.
And gracious.
In the Alufim of Esav, it says Aluf Koirach. So we see that Koirach was a bad name. It was one of the Alufim of Esav, and therefore Koirach's father should not have given his son the name Koirach, and that's why he unfortunately went off the derech, because he had the bad name. He should only have good names. I will stop over here. Everybody say, have a wonderful day.
Where do you see good names from here?
The
cypress tree is found in the eastern Mediterranean area, mm-hmm. but it was known for carving idols out of carved wood and coffins.
I see.